and justice for all.
Bow with me for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the country in which we live. We thank you that we had an election where there was no violence that we've heard of, that things went smoothly as they should. We pray that going forward, the transition of power would happen smoothly also. Father, we're always concerned about those around us who are suffering, and we continue to pray for them. The hurricanes might be over for now, but the damage is there. It will take years to repair. Many people have been affected by that. Some lost their homes and everything. We also think about those who are in situations of war. We have some terrible wars going on in the Middle East, Ukraine. Father, we pray for the victims of that war and for those who are suffering through it. We thank you for this opportunity to do business with the County of Brown and pray for your guidance and wisdom in what we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Jerry, why can I have a moment?
Sure.
I just wanted to thank Dora and Bill for everything they did when down. I think they did a fabulous job, and I think they should be acknowledged for it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Very difficult situation to face. We have a lot of data. We have a large computer system for the county, and of course, it was all affected by what happened. And so I think we're pretty much back up and running now. And only because of Laura and Bill did that happen. So, yes, we applaud you and thank you for that. Okay, additions to the agenda, changes?
Yeah.
I'll let you go first, Teresa.
We need to add Wyatt Manor roads to the agenda.
Wyatt Manor?
Wyatt.
Garden?
Wyatt.
Wyatt.
Oh, yeah.
Wider.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll put that right after the highway update. Eric. Okay. Any others?
I kind of like to bring something up. I'm not trying to stir it, but I'd like to talk about the share that we get from the music center. Okay. Am I understanding it correctly that last year they agreed to give 50-50 plus the amount that they give in lieu of taxes?
I don't remember that. I don't think they agreed on any of that.
Really?
Yeah. It's 25-75 now, right?
Well, I thought they did
agree. No, it's supposed to be 50-50 now.
Yeah, I thought they did agree.
It was supposed to have changed. To
I can tell you where it stands. Okay. The four parties have to agree on it. It's the building corporation. The Maple Leaf Management Board.
Finance?
Let's see, who else? Somebody else in there, and the commissioners. And it got all the way to us. The three before us approved that change. But it's up to us to decide whether we want to do that now or not. So. Yeah, it's on the table.
So the other three did agree on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Was that something that we need to advertise, or is it something we can just do in this meeting, or what do you want to do?
I don't think it needs any advertising.
I don't think so either.
Okay. It's a matter of how they cut their check, right?
No. We can just put it in there then. It'd be silly not to take that kind of money.
We'll put that after the lighting ordinance.
Okay.
I thought they put up more of a struggle than that.
I thought it was kind of easy.
Well, it went through. It
right.
Wasn't. I think there was a lot of discussion about it. Some wanted
because
some
we were things. Asking for the higher amount. And them getting them turning around and getting them, not the music center, but the
I think it was the CVC or the CVB or both had to agree to it as well.
Yeah, but who's getting the other half of it? It's not...
The foundation.
Foundation, yes.
Yeah, community foundation.
Yeah, we were asking for them to have the lower amount and us to have the higher amount, and they agreed 50-50.
Yeah.
They don't really have anything in. They get whatever we give them.
Right.
You know, they're not part of the decision.
I believe we have somebody from the Brown County Community Foundation.
Yeah, we were on the agenda in this sense, but I'm Johnny Elliott. As of last Monday, the board chair there, and this has been a topic of discussion at the last of our couple of board meetings, but the gist of that has been we have not been notified or invited any discussion, including our CEO. So while we have heard rumors and seen comments in the Brown County newspaper, people commenting in the media did not, to us, translate to there were actual discussions going on. And there's been a representative of our board at every county meeting for the last year or so, myself in some cases. So
it's not been discussed in our meetings prior to today. It has been, as I said, approved and agreed upon by the three entities other than us. So it lacks just our approval.
I will say certainly we are, our draft budget was constructed without the assumption of funds. I mean, we can't budget that way. It's certainly disappointing to hear that that option to help 100 plus nonprofits across the county and make those funds accessible is not something important. Feel like we were good stewards of how those funds were used, and the one and only time that there have been some proceeds that came to us. So again, disappointing. We didn't presume that those funds were headed toward the foundation as temporary custodians, really. As you know, that there's a formula where those go. There's a smaller portion that goes into a long-term endowment for the benefit of the community long-term, and then there's a split for arts, and then greatest need each year. We were very public about how that was distributed, how that was shared. Did specifically seek your feedback in terms of were you pleased or not pleased in terms of how that was done. And certainly it was integrated into our regular spring grant process, and we were able to do a lot more. You know, there are always requests that are, in this case this year, about 3.5 times available funds, even with those funds. So you can't do it all. So we'll certainly be left a smaller gap this year than traditionally, being the need for a lot of nonprofits, lots of. So we will follow the contracted agreement as we follow any rule or any law. But certainly ask you to consider the implications of reduced funds available to urgent needs across this county. Thank you,
Mike.
I can answer questions if you
do with this. Mike, move it.
Yes,
sir. What were the four entities that had to agree upon this again?
Yeah, I just had it up here. Looks like, so the commissioners, Brown County Maple Leaf Management Group, Brown County Convention and Visitors Commission, and Brown County Maple Leaf Building Corporation.
Okay. Go ahead.
Since it wasn't actually on the agenda and we've added it, if you feel like that there needs to be, more of a representation by, whoever you think is going to, I mean, you did a nice job right then, but if you feel like that there's more information we need to be taken in on this, then I wouldn't have any problem moving it to the next meeting.
I would appreciate an opportunity to at least give you some context. Maybe a multi-year trend of the needs, the fraction of the needs we've met, the larger fraction of need met this year versus other years. Recipients this year. I mean, there was a news release that went out, and I think the newspaper covered some, but maybe didn't list them all.
County's got really specific and sometimes dire needs.
Right.
But there's also other needs in the county, and you guys at the foundation have done a really nice job of addressing those. So, I mean, this is just a matter of coming together and seeing, what's going to be the most
equitable for all parties, and so, but if you, and since it wasn't on the agenda, I feel like you might have been a little bit shortchanged here on your ability to be able to present, so I don't have any problem moving it, if, you know.
I certainly appreciate that, and actually, in turn, I would invite you to let us know anything specifically that would be helpful. We can put together a background piece that would be shared with you ahead of time. Somebody would need to let me know the sort of cutoff time for your meeting packets, but that way you're not being surprised by something I say at the podium, you know, a little time to read it for your packets.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to be responsive with exactly what's helpful.
Yeah, I won't have to.
That would be Friday the 15th.
Okay.
I entertain a motion, though.
That's fine. I'm not going to get hung up on it. The only thing is this is somewhat time-sensitive, that it needs to be done before the end of the year, because if it's not taken care of by the end of the year, then it's not going to happen next year. Then we're in the next year at the end of next year.
Right. So you can be prepared by next meeting, right?
2 weeks from now.
Is it the 15th? Is the 15th full?
If you can give me the information by the 15th, the meeting's on the 20th.
Yep.
That's a night meeting.
And then if we feel the need to come and get with you prior to do it, you know, more study on it, and you said you'd be happy to, of course, provide all that, so that gives us a couple of weeks to...
I'll go ahead and make a motion to table until the next meeting.
Second.
50-50 share.
Second.
Motion to second. Discussion. Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Question for Mike Mogan. If we make that change, say, in November, our next meeting, or even December, when can that take effect?
It would take effect immediately.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
For commissioners, there was a resolution that Tom Pittman had drafted. Yeah. I just found it and sent it to you guys. I believe you would have had it, but it was back in February regarding making this change. So maybe review those documents as well. That might help clarify things for the next meeting.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mike. Okay. We will then move on to
minutes and claims.
Yep.
There's a couple of things. I'm going to let Teresa explain one of them. I believe you had something you concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to clarify, the minutes of the last meeting, it read kind of strange. It may have been what was said, but it wasn't, I don't think, 100% accurate. So you want a shot at explaining that, Teresa?
Sure. In the old business last time, we discussed, and we had Dwayne come up and talk about the brick project. And in that, we stated that $8,100 had been spent on material, and that is incorrect. We've spent $800 on material. The $8,100 was for the project of the new concrete and brick removal from the front. That was a payment made on that.
So was it $800 or $700?
$800.
Well, the $800 was the labor, I thought, for mm-hmm. the contract.
Right, correct.
Then we spent another
$700. Oh, that's the labor. Yes.
Spent another $700 for lumber.
Correct. That
that's exactly right.
Because you were reimbursed.
That's
yeah.
exactly right.
So.
Which you can see the lumber there in the form of a building.
So that's the correction. It's just a correction that needed to be made on numbers. That's all.
So we brought that project. We originally approved $8,100 for the project.
Changed on the minutes. I can correct it through these minutes.
Correct.
Yeah. That's what it said in
this. Yes. Right. We're good with that.
So if we got the project done for $1,500, that we actually approved $8,100, that we just want to see what we could get donated. Which Dwayne got Da Vinci shingles donated. You got the Da Vinci shingles donated.
Correct.
And I believe they donated the concrete. Then $700 for the lumber. You dug the hole, correct, Eric?
Yeah.
Put some stone in there, and it looks like it's going to turn out. You got any idea when the bell's going to go up?
That's great.
I'm looking around.
Who are you?
Yeah, Dwayne Parsons here. Been over the Bell Project for the last 5.5 years. December the 8th, the judge has informed me last night, we spoke in December the 8th at 1 p.m. on the courthouse lawn, they're going to do a dedication for the bell. The bell, for those that may not know, it was in the bell tower on the courthouse, which a lot of people, myself included, I didn't know what was in the tower. You can't see it. It was all over. Being with, took the bell down, and it's been pretty well refurbished. We built the structure for it. We've had a lot of gracious donators that have donated time, labor, and all for the project. But 1 p.m., she plans to do a dedication. That's a Sunday on the December the 8th. And then at 1:15 p.m., just 15 minutes later, she's going to open up the courthouse, and there will be somewhat of a courthouse tour for the, I believe, the new annex and the whole shoot and match. Teresa has the forms in her office, and there was forms in the last two Democrats for buying a brick for the any grave brick. We took the pavers that were left over from the sidewalk restoration that were unengraved, and we sent those to an engraver, and now we're waiting on getting enough at one time to have them engraved. Then we're have a fee of $100, which includes the everything. Get your name on it, three lines, 18 characters a line, and that'll take care of the setting of the bricks and hopefully the maintenance thereafter. And the judge is putting together a flyer, as we spoke last night, that I think we're going to Democrat, that will talk about the dedication of the whole process. And so.
And Donna talked to the Democrat today to tell them the deadlines on the bricks and how many we need to send it in, so that'll be in the paper also.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to thank everybody that's been involved with this project.
And if I understand right, Dwayne, the second form should have come up this week's Democrat, so they give people 2 weeks to understand that they can do that. So I'm feeling like after they've had a chance to do this, we should be able to pretty much, you know, whoever wants to get in on this first installment, you know, we can go ahead and ship it up there and they can do that. And then the next bat, if you don't get in this time.
Yeah, we'll ship the order up. They have the bricks now.
Right.
To my knowledge. But the plan of attack on this is to not say we sell five bricks, we're not going to go out there
no.
and get a contractor to pull five blanks out
no.
and put five engraved in. So the best solution is to sell as many as we can so that we can set those, because otherwise there's going to...
And other places that I've done some little research on, they only do it like once a year. Like, you know, it takes a year. So if you don't get in this year, then you got to wait till the next time, because we don't just do one brick at a time. So, yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Works for me. I don't have 5.5 years to work on this.
Yeah. Now, I do want to make one thing clear. The $8,100 or whatever the initial figure was that we had done, part of that $2,700, whatever it was supposed to be for materials, with which we got a lot of that donated. You got shingles, we got concrete, so forth and so forth. We had to buy the lumber, so that was $700 out of that. And then on the other side of it was labor. Now the contractor did not at any point in time say he was doing that for free.
$800 is what it charged him.
Yeah.
No, that's what he got in an advance off of what the labor was to pay his people.
How much is he charged?
Whatever that figure was that we had as the labor for it. And you'll have to look at the I brought it in, I think it's in Teresa, you got a copy of that, don't you? Or
I don't, I'll get with Donna to get it.
But anyhow, whatever that was, that's what the labor was. I mean, he's, you know, he's got his crew and he's been out there and he's done shingles twice and all that. So we're saving money on the materials, but we're still going to be obligated to pay some labor.
Darn, I thought we'd get about $15.
No, we're not. But the thing of it is, too, we got to wait until we get the bell up so he can go ahead and finish the railing around there. Then that will be done.
Did you ask him if he would consider donating the blade?
I'm sure he's not in a position where he's able to do that with his, you know, his crew. So. Okay.
The bell should be set. I'd like to do it this week, but we're getting kind of towards the end of the week.
Right.
And
we said, let us know. I mean, you know, Jerry, Ron, he's strong. You know, we can lift that bell up in no time.
His back's like mine. 300-pound bell we're going to have to set at night. I hope to have it. Let's figure on the first of the week.
I can put it up there by myself.
We've got a volunteer, then we can go home. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not in.
Been five and a half years, dude.
I'm not in on the money end of it. So
right.
Yeah. No, but the shingle tear off and reinstalled was donated.
Right.
That money was donated. So
right. Thank you.
We can curve that out. Right.
Perfect.
We have a very gracious donator. And
you did a nice
for the
job.
Labor and
you strong-armed somebody.
Roughly $4,000 worth of shingles. We didn't need them all, but at least 2,000 we did use. So
very nice.
Thank you. Thanks for everybody.
You've done a wonderful job.
Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you, Dwayne.
You're the judge's new hero.
I asked him if he wanted to build the shelter house up at the Overlook.
I told her I just want to be on that side of the bench.
I know, right? I got you.
And you both.
So that's the correction that we will show in the next meeting of that statement.
And no, I'm not getting near that shelter out there.
I kind of got that from the wife.
I'm done. Done.
Yeah, Lois, she's done her due. She's done everything but lift the bell so far.
That's a good point, though. We don't want to forget about the shelter house.
It's kind of, there was some interest in some volunteers on it.
Yeah.
That's what always happens. There's always interest until you actually want to get it done. And then five and a half years later, you're still saying, yeah, they're going to be right here.
We'll take care of that next.
Sure you will. Okay. I'm rooting for you.
In their defense, a couple of them died in the meantime.
Yeah. They'll use anything for an excuse.
I know.
Well, they say if you put a deadline on it, like you're going to give yourself 30 days to clean the house.
Don't use the word dead.
No, you just said
deadline. It'd take 30 days. If you give yourself 3 hours, it'd take 3 hours.
Who's buying that permit? I don't want to stymie the meeting. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, the big one's coming next, so we could use a little humor before the big halu.
Well, we got to prove the men.
Okay. You had something you wanted to talk about?
On the claims, yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead.
On the claims, I've seen this before, but we're paying an awful lot of money for elevator inspections. They say it's inspection and maintenance. I'm not sure what they do, but it's, you can correct me, but there's a claim for $11,000 in this set of claims. And that was for what time period?
I'll have him bring up the actual.
They actually charge.
I researched the
every other month.
Yeah, and I researched the years past, and it has gone up minimal, but it has still been pretty salty.
I don't know that that's exactly correct. I don't have the actual claim in front of me, but it says that I won't mention the name, but it's the elevator company, and I see $1,062.35. And then it drops down. That's on 008182. And then it drops down to the 43001 building total, which was $6,422.41.
Yeah.
It says no department to come out of there. It looks like the Kuhn Capital Development total is $11,521.01. Am I not seeing that right? I don't know that they actually charged the $11,000. On that Kuhn Capital, there was, I think that's the total of all these. And I think IT service obligation was $5,098.60. And then there was a termite and pest control for $655. Business radio licensing at $125,
And then Menards in Columbus, and I can almost tell you what that is, 4,580.06. That was the building that went to the veterans.
Yeah.
So I, if I'm looking at this right...
So was that the total of them?
I think it's the total of all of them. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense to
her. I can't see it.
Okay.
Let me run it backwards.
Yeah.
See, it starts...
I saw it on those charts.
I done moved the page.
I don't...
I believe it all starts right here, because it's all out of the Cube Capital Development Fund.
Yeah.
And you got the SHI, the IT service obligation, 5,700. And you got the termite, and you got the business radio, you got the Menards bill. I think that's a total of all, Jerry.
Okay.
I think we'd be okay to go ahead and probably approve that. I think that's what the elevator bill was. It wasn't that.
Okay.
I do that stuff all the time, but I've been looking at these things so long.
Well, we are paying quite a bit.
I'll have Doug come in and clarify when he gets back. Oh,
it's substantial.
It is. It is definitely something to look into because it's
something we can go ahead and approve, though, I believe.
Yes, you have to. You're already in it.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the claims and minutes.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand. Say aye.
Aye.
You leaving them rooms here by insurance?
Okay, we got through the minutes and the claims. And I think we've pretty much already talked about the bridge to the courthouse, haven't we?
Yeah, we'll get it there.
And Bell. So we can perhaps that off. Which brings us down to the Brown County Lighting Ordinance. Next on the agenda.
So.
I think you said you had some information.
I do. But did you have anything you want to start with?
Right. I won't start. I'll let you have at it. I think you got some slides or something.
I do. I took some pictures because sometimes, well, if I understood correctly the last time, it wasn't actually the amended version of the lighting ordinance that we weren't agreeable to. It was the fact that you hadn't had ample time to actually peruse and analyze the amended version.
Oh, I was good with my denying it. Still good with my denying it. But I want to listen to everything you have to say.
So you do want to talk now.
I'll let you have your spiel. You want to sound like you were trying to put words in my mouth.
I'm just making a statement here.
Okay.
Have at it there, Mr. Walker.
So I think in the last 2 weeks, if there was any confusion, and if there wasn't, that's fine, but if there was, that was ample time to go ahead and reevaluate the amended version. So at this point, I decided to do what I feel like a visual aid to show the obvious nature of where we're at. So if you can bring that up. Well, I can't see it from here, but as long as the folks can. I mean, you don't really have to have a doctorate in luminosity to know that there's an obvious advantage to having the sign that was tuned to a certain application rather than have some arbitrary floodlights on it. And this gives you an example of the difference between the two. And if you go out there and see it in the evening, it becomes even more obvious. But as I said last time, the three parts of this are the signage internally lit that way is more energy efficient than having the floodlights there. It's for the business that spent the money for it. It's better marketing because then you can actually see the sign instead of having these floodlights that do not illuminate it as they should be. And also there's a safety factor because not only do those floodlights occasionally get, you know, in your vision when you're going past, but also as far as the campground's concerned, when you've got a one-ton dually truck pulling a 40-foot camper and they can't see it and they go past it, there's no place to turn around
until you get, you know, basically into town.
Is that what the actual sign looked like before?
That's one, I mean, you know, I'm doing this, I'm not a professional photographer, but I just went out there, I got, but you can see the diff, can you see where the floodlights versus?
I'm out there every day, I see it every night, yeah, it's not fun.
So, that's where I'm at with this, no.
I mean, if that's the difference, that's a big difference to me.
Correct.
So, I don't know, Jerry, if you want to have, there's some people here that are here for this again, I don't know if you want to have, you know, say what they want to say.
Let them have it, good or bad, I'll take it away.
We did it last time, and I don't mind.
Do you want me to open the public before you go?
Yeah, I went till last, I said I went too fast last time, so I'll still. No, well, man, I'm enjoying the ride.
Okay, is there anybody in the audience who'd like to speak about this change?
My name is Janice Schaefer, we live on 46 and we go by here at least 3 or 4 times a day. But I think it opens a bag of worms, even if you're going to have exceptions, then you have to have someone approving those exceptions. I just had one cataract taken out and the other one tomorrow, but those spotlights still don't bother me. I don't think as much as I think the electronic sign would bother me. I don't like those signs, I think it's not a good, one of your points was marketing, and I don't think that it's going to help marketing Brown County at all. I think, matter of fact, we should stick with the traditions of Brown County, and we can move forward and be progressive, but I don't think that we need to have the lighted signs.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? State your name for the record.
Erin Lane. Similarly, I disagree that we need that for marketing. I think the signs can be very clear. I agree that the floodlights at the bottom are not the best look, but I've seen some beautiful over-the-sign lighting. And I think this opens up our county to, frankly, to looking like everywhere else. When I go to Columbus or Littleton, there are a lot of internally lit signs. It takes away from the peace, the tranquility, the quiet, and the beautiful nature of Brown County. And for better or for worse, tourism is one of our biggest trades that we have down here. And if it looks like everywhere else, why would they want to come see us here in beautiful Brown County? Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else?
We do have someone from the Zoom meeting who would like to speak.
Anybody? Yes, absolutely.
Got somebody coming to the mic. Let's have her speak first.
I'm Lisa Callahan. I'm from Brown County, Torsable and Newton side. And I definitely am not in favor of the internally lit signs. We just had family come in from Gatlinburg, and they always talk about how beautiful Nashville is. And I mentioned to them something about the signs, and their immediate reaction was, even though they live in Gatlinburg, they make their living there, they said, oh, you're just going to be like all the other towns in the United States. Like, this is so special. This place is charming. Once you do one of these lights, my personal objection is I just went back home to Nebraska, and they have the signs lit up, and they really erred on the side of kitsch, and it just brought down the look of the town. And I love all of our beautiful hand-painted signs, or however they are made, and I think they can be lit far more attractively. And I'm very pro keeping our town looking special and having a nod to its historical value. And then when people come to visit me from other countries, such as Malaysia and Germany, which they have in the last few years, they always remark on how this place is special, and it doesn't look like a lot of other places they've been to in the United States. And I place a real high value on it. So, thank you.
Thank you. To one point you spoke there, this would not affect the town of Nashville. This is only Brown County, and it's only on state highways.
I think we're going to take the person from the Zoom meeting real quick.
Let's do Zoom next.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Madison Miller, hello. I am just speaking in opposition to the current ordinance as it's written, and I'm reflecting back upon the APC, where it was brought up that the International Sign Association does not recommend calculating the output of the light source by lumens, as it's still in the ordinance. They have that conversation about foot candles. So I just don't think that's an industry standard. If we're going to move in this direction, then we need to have something that is worthy of 2024 and how we measure light. But more so, as a county resident, I do not think that the majority of the county residents or the business owners are asking for this change to the ordinance that feels like a solution in search of a problem that does not exist. So I very much am in opposition to this.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else here? Yes. Okay. Sandy.
Sandy Jones, town manager. I keep hearing it's not going to affect the town of Nashville. When the sun shines, it doesn't only shine in Brown County. It shines on all of us. And wanting to put a sign at the town limits is going to affect the town. I sent you all an email, and I told you last time, please wait until your comprehensive plans are done, and then look at these items. That's the best way to move forward. Thank you.
Okay. Ian? Yes?
David Schaefer. Moving with this lady that just spoke a little while ago. We have a special ambiance in Brown County. Putting lighted signs in is going to change that dramatically. Don't do that. Do not do that. That is short-sighted, and I think it's going to change our image with people who are our way of life, our tourism. So that would be my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Okay.
Hello, Brian Lane from Hickory Knob.
Speak up, please.
I'm Brian Lane from Hickory Knob, and like me, a voice from also against this, I guess, our area planning commission against it for similar reasons. And, yes, like you were saying, Brown County as a whole, that's why people want to come here, that's why the residents live here, because we're especially.
Okay. Anyone else?
My name is Jimmy Tilton. I wasn't planning on saying anything, but I thought I probably should. I go by a 46 every day. And I've taken extra notice in the last couple of weeks of how the signs on 46 are illuminated, and I really have to strain to be able to read them properly. And the more I strain, the less my eyes are on the road. I'd like to be able to keep my eyes mostly on the road and be able to read the signs. And if you can't read the signs very well, that's a problem to me. I think that having a tastefully done illumination, internally illuminated signs could help safety. And if the business owner thinks it could help his business, then I'm for that too. I'm for tourism. And I think this is a common sense thing that should be done.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Robertson, planning director for the APC, and I just wanted to make sure you guys got the information that you had requested at the last meeting. Just the reasons why the Area Plan Commission sent the negative recommendation. They wanted to make it clear that they were not against internally lit signage in its entirety. They were unhappy with the verbiage presented.
Yeah.
You don't need to read all those into the record, do you? You guys have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Jerry. Tim Clark. I think where we left this last meeting, Jerry, you were going to review all the material that's been presented and then for more information before making a decision. So it was tabled last meeting. Just a couple things. On the history of this thing, the planning department made a mistake when they granted a permit for an internally lit sign. They caught it and said, hey, you can't do that. And then to make that work, you had to put stoplights or lights at the bottom that wasn't designed to do it. If you want to go back and drive up 46 and look at all the light signs I have this week, I mean, the KOA has a phenomenal sign up there that you can see clearly at a good distance. And others have their signs designed either with lights coming from the top or from the bottom, and they're clearly can clearly be seen from any kind of distance. When the APC met, they tabled it first, unanimous table it. Information wasn't clear. Then they had a second meeting, unanimously agreed for no recommendation. Then it came to you. I guess on the public comments, and I've read the survey results, and you can hear it now, aesthetics was the biggest thing people had, and I support the recommendation. Push this off, delay it, and let the county comprehensive, the community discussions around the county comprehensive plan to deal with that. Because when you talk aesthetics and different people bring up the different words, I think it's very important to find out exactly what we mean by that. And so if you're going to make any kind of change to these sign ordinances, it might be a good idea to get the definition of what it is, what kind of look that we want. I agree with that you don't want to look like everybody else, and they brought up some good points. And so if you make any kind of change, you have that public input, then you can kind of look at the examples, do a tour at night of the different lighted signs, and make some decisions as to what you want as a county. I guess that's probably it. I'd just say, hey, delay it for the comprehensive plan, let the community have the input, and design something that works for us. And one last thing that wasn't mentioned in the discussions, and maybe you can bring that up now, is this electronic sign that flashes multiple illuminated messages. Each message must stay continuous for at least 10 seconds before changing to a subsequent message. This fact wasn't discussed at the APC that I heard. We talked about the lighted sign with the clarity of the language. That's a big deal. That came up in 2018. The Maple Leaf Building Corp wanted an electronic sign out there. And there was tremendous backlash in the community against that electronic lighted sign. And I think Bruce Gold submitted the request for a lighted sign and pulled it after the community backlash for the same reasons we're talking about today. So electronic signs is part of this and need to expand the discussion not only for the internally lighted versus externally lighted, but also the electronic message. And that's a heck of a road on 46 for people to take the time to read these messages, you know, in the busiest times of our year. That's kind of dangerous. So on the safety issue, again, I'd suggest anybody at night drive up and down 46 and look at the various lights and how the arrangements are made. You'll see, you know, that they can be very clear with externally lighted lights. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else?
My turn.
Can I interrupt for just a minute?
So you sure can.
Jerry, Ron is correct. This is actually the claim for the elevator. And the actual claim for the elevator is $1,062.35.
Okay.
So that had
for a quarter.
Yeah, for a quarter.
For a quarter.
Yeah.
So all those time I spent down there, I finally learned something.
You did!
It's about $4,000 a year.
So, yeah, and the 11,000 is appears to be what everything in that account line
together.
Okay. So it's about $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know elevators are very expensive. And they're very tightly controlled for safety reasons. They have to be inspected. I mean, I've seen a lot of elevators. They have a card in there that says when they were last inspected. That inspection, I think, by the state, and that's once a year. This company is coming every quarter to check on her, make sure everything's working right.
Thank
so
you for bringing
course.
It up, though.
Yeah. I don't know if one of their inspections satisfies the state, or if they have a state inspector.
I have a note to look into it a little bit more, because there's a lot going on there, especially now that we have the courthouse elevator, too.
Yeah. We have think we only have two elevators up on the county property.
Three.
Three?
The jail has one.
Jail has two.
Oh, the jail has two, we have four.
What about the jail? Yeah. So is that included affecting all of them?
I don't know. I would like to find that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just looking at that per elevator, that does get salty.
I'd like to know that.
Okay.
I mean, go ahead and pay the $1,000. I mean, whether it's for one or all of them. I don't state inspect all of them, at least once a year. Somebody has to get this.
That's how you learn things, is asking questions.
Yeah.
Follow it up. We'll nail it down and find out how many elevators you're doing. We're trying.
Hope all, it's all of them. That would be too bad, I don't think. The four elevators.
$1,000, that's not bad.
Thank you for letting me interrupt that.
Yeah, no problem, appreciate that.
Jump back into the lighting thing. I think Mr. Clark's made a very good point. And I think that kind of will actually fall back and address a concern that Mr. Tilton had. You know, he's trying to read this internally lit, but they're not internally lit. They got spotlights shining up on them, and you're trying to read them going down the road. What about signs that's going to have a different message every 10 seconds? And it might not even be you. It might be somebody else. That, I think someone said they might have glaucoma or something, and it's hard on their eyes, and you know, it's kind of like texting or something, you know, it's another distraction. And about that time, you're overlooking that sign, trying to read that sign, next thing you know, there's a deer in front of you. Or there's somebody crossing the center line. You know, it's just all things to take into consideration. You know, it come with a negative recommendation. I don't know, we can talk it over. I know Mr. Walper, I believe, has done, made up his mind. I've done made up my mind. I guess it's going to depend on what Mr. Pippin does. I mean, I guess that's where we're at. I guess it's time for one of us to make a motion and see if he gets a second. If he don't get a second, then the other one to make a motion. Not to put any pressure on you there, Mr. Pippin.
Well, the plan commission, and this is from the tape, I believe, 20 minutes and 30 seconds, they're not against internally lit. They were against the verbiage in the proposed change to the ordinance. I think one of them was, I think it said, some have ambiguity.
Near. Instead of a specific, you know.
Near
26.2 inches.
Near a state highway. I think that was one of the problems they had with the verbiage. But they weren't against the internally lit signs. The only verbiage that we proposed was somewhat of a technicality, I guess. But I would entertain a motion.
So I've talked to our attorney, Mike, and he was. He thought that the verbiage was fine, and we've delineated the reasons that we think that this amended version is better, so I'll make a motion that we adopt the new ordinance as it is written.
Okay. We have a motion. Do I hear a second? Don't hear a second. I would make a comment first, that is that, you know, a lot of things never get done in this county because we put them off. We study them, put it off till after this or after that, after this or after that. But sometimes you just have to make a decision. The last meeting we had, practically everyone was in favor of it. This meeting, almost everybody's against it. The survey that was done was something like 60-40. 60 again, 44, I'm sorry. And who knows, I mean, we've seen last night how these surveys and polls sometimes are very wrong. And that was proven out last night. But I think it's time to move on this, and I'll second the motion. Any discussion? discussion further?
I'd like to make a couple more comments.
Go right ahead.
We have a commissioner sitting there that got on that, in that seat by 7 votes. The public did not put him there. We have another commissioner that didn't win the primary. And he's, and both of them are out the door in 2 months. I think for Jens to be making this decision before a comprehensive plan is even done, and you really took a hard look at it, is offensive to me and a lot of other people. And I'll be glad when the board says.
I absolutely honor everyone's opinion. Once again, I think this was not a clear-cut decision by the public that's been here and has commented on it, and it certainly was not a clear-cut decision from the Plan Commission. They were actually for it, except for the verbiage. So I think it's time to move on.
We will be addressing it.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Okay. Next on the agenda. Teresa.
Yes, have a lot. First of all, I wanted to remind all the employees that we are closed on Monday.
Veterans
Day. I forgot Veterans Day. Stephanie, the clerk has asked if it is okay if she gases up the truck to return to the, you know, U-Haul place, the truck own place at the highway department to use their discount rather than pay at the pump. So.
Who's it wanting to use?
They used it for voting. They have to return it tomorrow with a full tank of gas. They're asking to fuel it up at the highway rather than at the tank at the gas station. Because we don't pay the same gas tax. We pay a lower gas tax.
I'm sorry again, who is it?
The clerk.
Clerk. The clerk. Clerk's office.
Yeah, yeah. From the voting, the election. That's the truck that delivers all the voting equipment.
They're already authorized and budgeted to purchase gas for that purpose. I mean, they're already in the budget for it, and if they can save money, we all can save money by them filling it up there. Now, the situation on gasoline, you don't get any break on state or federal taxes on that, do you?
No, our diesel fuel is where we have to pay the tax every month for what we use on road.
Right. But gasoline, I don't think you can buy without those taxes on it. Mm-hmm. I think anybody can.
Right. It's just a bulk price.
It's a bulk price rather than a gas price.
Okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
I'd say just go to the gas station, get the gas. She got the money.
Well, her budget's a little strange.
She's that close on the budget.
I mean, it's one tank of gas in a van.
Yeah, that's all we're asking about right now. They're waiting to come on. Do you have your name?
I'm good. I can pull it up down there.
Okay. There's that for one tank?
Yeah.
Not ongoing?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just one tank.
I don't have one tank.
For the rental van that she uses the equipment with.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next thing. Just want to make you guys all aware that the RDC has been asking for use of the sock factory money. And the Parks and Rec has asked for some help doing some research. So I wanted to put it in your view that we are researching the sock factory money. We've done a lot of minutes that went back to 2011, 2014, so on and so forth, about where that money was supposed to go and what it was doing. So we're just making you aware that we are researching it and that we are going to talk to the council about where that money should be going.
Well, the Redevelopment Commission is pretty much ineffective if they don't have any resources.
They actually are in our budget, and they do get budgeted money every year, so I'm not really sure where that comment came from that they don't have any money, because they do.
What, how much money do they get a year?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it was like, I know right now it was 30,000. I think it was 30,000, do I see?
Okay, 10,000.
Yeah, I think.
One time, 10,000.
Their task was a pretty big chore to figure out how to improve economic development.
Right, this is literally just us trying to put this problem to bed. So that everybody can be.
So you're not making a recommendation one way or the other, you're just looking at it.
No, just giving you all the evidence that we can move on with that project.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask Mike Moga.
I would like to make a recommendation that you split the money.
Mike, I think we've talked about this before, but I don't want to put you on the spot, you may need to research it, but as I recall, when the gal donated the property to us, to the county, and then we attempted to sell it, and the commissioners could not sell it legally. And so it was transferred to the RDC, and they sold the building, I think, the steel beams and stuff, and eventually the real estate to the Beamery, the business went in there. So what's the status of what money's left? I think it's about $228,000.
Yes.
Whose money is that? Who controls it? Who can make a decision on it, Mike?
I need to know a little bit more about how that agreement was made. Like, what was the contract that said the county can't sell it? And what rights did the county give when they gave it to the RDC to sell it? Maybe if you guys want to send me that information, I can review that and then give you a better answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fully with you on that.
That's why we're going through all the minutes here.
Yeah, you can forward that to Mike.
Yeah, because the interesting thing was Ross Benson mentioned that he didn't understand if the county wasn't going to fund the RDC, why was it created?
Amen.
Well, our research has found that the RDC was created to sell that property because you guys couldn't.
Well, that's what
that is kind of the answer to that question, finally. That's one thing we found out. So.
Yeah.
Keep digging.
So get all the information you can on it. I want to sell this.
I do too. And like Julie said, it would be nice to split the money to half, but that's not our choice. It's just you've got two people with two very legitimate wants.
Two questions, really.
I mean, you think about all that stuff
the authority to spend that money, and is there any restraint on what they can spend it for?
Correct.
The original donor, I think.
She has very specific instructions. But the thing is that is very peculiar is that the first instruction of the money is different from the second instruction of the money, is what we found.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be interesting to finish this, but I didn't want to continue without you guys knowing that is an issue ongoing right now.
Right.
We're trying to fix.
Well, I think the money's not throwing much in any place, so it'd be better to spend it than sit on it at this point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was growing 10-12%, I might be inclined to say leave it there for a while, but it's not growing anything, so.
Right, and you've already spent some of it on Helmsburg for the
I think we felt that spending on Helmsburg would be in line with her wishes, because that was in Helmsburg and so forth.
Not what the research is showing.
But who knows? I mean, we all need to know more about it.
Okay, and then my other thing, my last thing, is that the meeting on November 20th at 6 p.m., would that be changed to 2 p.m. because of
the conflict with the BZA?
Conflict with the BZA.
Oh, okay. Well, we can do that.
We double booked the calendar.
Okay.
And I will take the blame for that. We are the ones that have to switch our meeting one week earlier than usual.
Okay.
I thought that we had this figured out already, and it just occurred to me earlier in the meeting when somebody said, oh, the November 20th meeting, and I said, oh, crud, I need to beg them for forgiveness and ask them to move their meeting to 2. The BZA meeting is starting at 5 o'clock, and we have already had people advertise for 5 p.m. on the 20th in this room.
I don't have a problem with it, Yaron.
And I apologize.
Okay, so the next meeting is going to be at 2 p.m., Sandy.
That's six.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And unless you have any questions for me, that's all I have.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Mike Moga is going to add her or if I'm supposed to add her, but we do have the lady from Wyatt.
Anna.
Oh, okay. Anna here. Yeah. So don't forget that. Okay, your turn.
Yeah, okay.
Is that before or after the highway update?
Well, I put it down after, but it's all part of it. So,
yeah.
So go ahead, Eric.
All right, you guys got my report, my updates. I don't have a whole lot to add. I would like to, on record, thank my workers for everything they've done, and they've really helped turn things around. So we've been able to do a lot with not a lot of complaints, not a lot of issues. And I think for the most part, everybody's happy. I'd like to thank them for that. So. But I know there's probably some questions maybe on my report.
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
The machine that was purchased some years ago to mow with, the multi-purpose machine in Tennessee, is that thing operable or not?
No, it hasn't ran in several years. I believe it had a hydraulic leak maybe, got hot, caught on fire, burnt some wires, some hoses. Our mechanic, actually, we talked about this last week, he's going to look at getting it running and then potentially getting rid of that. It's a gas engine, it's a V10.
Yeah.
It's not really, I don't know if it was a, it's not a one-off, but I don't know, that company may be out of business, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's just not a good fit for us, and we have replaced that with a better piece of equipment.
Right.
But our goal is to get that up and running and try to get some decent money out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Yeah.
Nothing's sitting there. Accruing any value.
The
years go by, it's worth probably less. And particularly a machine like that. It was a small company that was manufacturing those, and I don't know if they're still in business or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You might contact them, see if they'd be interested in purchasing it.
I think the previous mechanic did reach out to them for some paperwork and some other stuff and was not able to contact them. So we can try again, but.
That's a bad sign.
Okay, we'll see what you can find out.
Yep.
Whatever you do, don't scrap that old antique road grader down there.
No, we're not doing anything with it. I mean, until you guys decide something to do with it.
Did you have some kind of update on the green patching machine? Getting rid of that?
Yeah, that green total box. That green total patcher we've had for several years. It hasn't been used in I don't know how many years. I've heard 4 or 5 years. I called the company to actually come down and do some training with us on it because a lot of our guys have never used it. So the guy came down to look at it, and I've got a repair list from him. It's about $12,000 in repairs to get it running and then hope nothing else is wrong with it. So we decided at that point to sell it back to the company we bought it from as a buyback. And then we bought an infrared heater for our hot box with that money. We still have money left over. So we sold that for $15,000. We bought our infrared heater for, I don't have the invoice, I want to say it's $12,000. And then there's a silo that held the oil, it's still down there. We're selling that back to them also. We haven't done it yet. We have to empty it out. It hasn't been turning in years, but the heater has been on, so we're confident that we're going to be able to pump that stuff out. We have to get it completely empty before they'll take it, but that's $10,000 once we sell that. So we've been able to use money that, equipment that we couldn't use and turn it into stuff that we actually can use and not hurt our budget.
That's what I like to hear, not stuff sitting around and not being used. Deteriorating.
Yeah.
That's not efficiency at all.
Yep.
Thank you, Harry.
Yep, you're welcome.
Let's go ahead with the Wyatt man. We have a lady here looking to let her speak first.
Susie Mormon. A couple of us have
talked to different ones of you, highway department especially. So Katie Beth Mueller has spoken to some of you also, so if you recognize her name. Wyatt Manor has two streets. We're on the eastern part of the county off Georgetown and Nelson Ridge Road. I have lived there longer than any of my neighbors, the almost 20 years. And much to my surprise, I recently found out the county doesn't own those roads. We thought they did. We've always had the signs, and we've had spectacular service for the whole 20 years. Plowing, sand, I mean, we were like bragging to everybody in Bartholomew County, like, I mean, Brown County is spectacular, clearing our roads. And now that we found out they don't own our roads, we're like, there's 12 of us in the neighborhood, and we would like to deed our roads to the county. So Katie Beth, who lives in the neighborhood, is an attorney, and she's spoken to Mike. So we're just wanting to find out the possibility, the interest of deeding our roads, they aren't very large, to the county. Big gift to you all.
They're paved roads.
They are. They're paved and, yeah.
What would you say the quality of these roads are?
They're good. I mean, we don't have potholes or have you driven out? I mean,
so we have some software called Violytics. It takes pictures. So there's all these cracks, all this alligator cracking. So we have, the software rates our roads. And here's, it does it in segments. Here's three sections. This first section is a 4. It goes from 1 to 9. 1 being the worst, 9 being the best. So this section's a 4. This section on Winslow is a 3. And the last little section's a 5. So by the software and everything that we've looked at, the roads are actually in poor condition. I have got several emails out to NDOT, LTAP, about if we add these two roads in our inventory, kind of the money, the revenue we would get. Haven't got an answer back. And my recommendation is right now, the shape these roads are in, it would cost us a lot of money the next couple of years to get these paved and back up to par. We've got a lot of other roads that we need to do. I would love to take these roads if we could get them in average condition or above average condition. I don't see the county taking roads over that are in poor condition. And like I said, with the pictures, these are just a couple pictures. I've got a lot of pictures. It's hard to see driving, but this software takes pictures every 10 feet. And, they're bad. I see us spending a lot of money in the next few years fixing them.
But you haven't got an answer back from...
I haven't got an answer as far as the revenue the county would actually receive. I can't imagine half a mile or so of road that we would get a lot.
Maybe if we could get that information.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting.
I mean, you know, it's like, I understand the plight out there and all that, but you ought to understand, you know, our side of the thing too.
Yeah, and everybody's been great and, you know, talking to us and listening. Like, we were just all surprised that, what, they're private roads, and we didn't know because... We're a small HOA that collects $125 per family per year. There's nothing for plowing, nothing for, I think we have $3,000 in our checking account. We have to give it.
It's going to cost over $100,000. And that's a problem.
Well, let's get that information first, and then we'll just, see where we stand on it. If it makes sense, we're trying to do as best we can. I mean, more roads that are paved and more, people can, have more access to getting around and things. So, we don't want to go broke in the process.
Right.
So. Yeah, I'm not opposed to taking the roads. It's just the condition.
They are great at clearing roads. Wyatt Manor, we would stand out there and like one snowflake and the guys are there. So, we've loved it for 20 years. I mean, they were good. If they could just sneak down there.
Thanks.
So the county's been maintaining the town, snow and everything else.
Yeah, we had no idea. That's why we didn't know.
Wow. And that was illegal.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we
it was accidental, I think, that we found out.
Yeah, we will not plow those roads unless they're ours. Yeah, just reliability.
If you're going to start there, put me on the list number two. You plow mine, too. No.
That's what mine paid. Plow it.
Well, let me make one comment before make the scene here. And that is, as a general rule, and at least as a county policy, I don't know if it's a legality or not, but we normally have not accepted any roads for the county to take over unless they were up to par, such as the Music Center driveway. It was discussion about the county taking that over. It was not finished, but they needed another inch of asphalt on it to be up to standards for county road, and so we weren't going to take it over. They've not actually asked us to do that. I'm not sure if they ever will, but that road now would meet all specs. I don't know, Mike Mogan, do you know anything about that? If you want to research that, because we're not going to do anything today anyway.
I'm sorry, research the legality of accepting this land, is that what you're referring to?
The roads in
the adoption of roads by the county and the standards that they're supposed to meet before we can do that.
It's up to the county. There's nothing in the statute that specifies what quality the road has to be, and that's the intent, is to allow the county to have that discretion. You know, should they choose to accept the road that's under poor condition, but they like the prospect of having that, they can obviously pave it themselves. So that'd be up to the commissioners, ultimately.
Okay. Well, thank you. Learn more today, Ron.
Yep, I've found out that you can learn something every day. And it is.
Yeah.
Life is a constant learning experience.
I learn something at least a half a dozen things every day.
There you go. Can you share?
So it's really up to the county, but our policy in the past, I know it's been that we didn't adopt the road unless it was in good shape. So we need to make a motion to table this.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Okay, so I talked to Katie Beth, and you guys are wonderful, and we're happy that you got some free service. And we'll see.
We'll be crying all winter.
Once we get the final, but yeah, I'll make a motion to table it until we get the information.
Okay. We have a motion to hear a second. Hearing none, I've got a second to that motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand. Say aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign.
I'll abstain. I heard something about what you guys have been doing was illegal, and I'm held to a higher standard.
Okay. You can't change the past. What's happened has happened. And
well, you guys watch us change the past.
No, that's not possible. The arrow of time points in only one direction. That's forward. Not back. They've tried to invent machines to go back in time, but it doesn't work.
I don't want to go back.
A lot of people would not like to get back. Okay. So I think we're about done. Mike, wait a minute.
I asked to be on the agenda Monday, but.
Oh, okay.
I need my claim.
Oh, yeah, Jerry, we talked about that.
Okay. Come on up here.
And you need to.
We got 43 minutes left.
I'll just need one. I just need my the quarter-three claim sign.
Who are you?
I'm Kim Robinson from the YMCA in Access Brown County.
But the microphone doesn't know that until you say it.
I got you, sorry. And then can you check that your email? Do you get the commissioner's email?
When you send something to the commissioner, not us individually?
Yeah, who checks that email?
It's probably there, but I haven't been able to get into mine for some period of time.
The 2025 contract is in there as a DocuSign, and you have to sign it first, and there's a code.
Okay.
And then once you sign it...
You get that, don't you, Teresa?
Yeah, I resent it to you, Jerry.
Oh, that's right. I didn't get it, and she resent it.
Yeah.
Can you get that, like, today? And then I, because after you sign, then I sign, and it goes to NDOT, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I'll get that done through the meeting code.
And then they had another email, I forwarded it to you, Teresa and Julie, about the, a letter of good standing from the Indiana Department of Workforce Development. There's some issue, and they won't do our contract without this getting clarified. I don't have any idea what it means.
That's all.
So do you need, can you sign this then, you two? Yeah, have two signatures for the claim? This is just an in and out, because you guys are a sweet pass through.
I'm not costing us a dime, huh?
Very happy to see that you're at the...
Yes, if we're in the...
Oh, there's something,
How's the Chimico River going?
It's on the wall right now. Unfortunately. We have MD also.
One of you want to sign below here?
I'd like to sign.
School this year on Thanksgiving Day. So if you have anyone who needs a meal delivered in the county, will deliver, and they can come in from 11 to 1 to get a meal to go or to eat inside. There's a QR code so you can sign up, how fancy, or you can just call the hotline number, 988-0001, that goes to my cell phone, and we can get people signed up. So spread the word.
Okay. Great.
Excellent food, too.
It is.
Okay. So you're going to figure out whatever that third letter's about?
Yes.
So I think we're down to Mike Mogan. Do you have anything else for us?
No, brother, I'll take it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. I hear a motion. Do I hear a second?
I'm just sweating you two every minute I can.
You know, you could be a little more congenial.
I could say the same thing.
I mean, we're only asking for an adjournment motion.
You can handle it.
No, I can. It's what you want. You're game. I'll second the motion. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same time. Oh, you voted for it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.